This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hi, it's Ann Halkett here. I'm the eDiscovery manager at Alexander Holborn in Vancouver. I'd like to introduce you to our International Attitudes Towards eDiscovery podcast. It's a series involving people in Canada, Australia, China, and the UK. And today I have with me Tiana Van Dyke of EPIC. Tiana's been in the Canadian eDiscovery area for a number of years. Tiana, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Of course. Thanks, Anne. I am the Director of Client Solutions. My background is actually in a law firm. So I was in eDiscovery in a law firm for 15 years, and I recently moved over into the vendor space. So my exposure to eDiscovery has been across the country in various capacities. My background is very strongly in eDiscovery, TAR analytics, through my involvement in, you know, different professional organizations, as well as speaking engagements across the U.S. and Canada.
Awesome. So let's jump into the questions. Do you use technology for eDiscovery, and if so, what? So in your capacity, because you have one foot in your past in both a law firm and now on the vendor side, how do you see eDiscovery technology across Canada? What's it like?
Quite different, actually. The West Coast is more involved with some of the older technologies and just starting to really get a grip of advanced analytics. There's a lot of forward thinkers, but there's a lot of technology that is a little bit older, and I think people are really starting to get excited about moving forward from that. Calgary, the kind of Alberta area, which is where I'm currently based, is doing a fairly good job of taking on new technology. There's several head offices, and a lot of our clients in Alberta have kind of made it necessary for these law firms to take on tech just based on document volumes. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting progression over the years from a simple technology like summation into what seems to be the most common, which is Eclipse. Whether a firm has Eclipse Web or Eclipse SE, desktop or enterprise, is really dependent on the firm's size, but that's kind of the most common technology, you know, in Western Canada. Out East is actually quite a bit different in terms of technology. It seems like they're very heavy into Relativity. So that seems to be the primary platform that they leverage out in the East. Now on the vendor side, we offer a number of additional technologies for analytics, like NextLP, Brainspace. So people are starting to be a lot more aware of those types of technology as well.
Interesting. And then how do you find attitudes within the legal community generally towards, you talked about it just a tiny bit, but I'm wondering if you could maybe expand on that a bit more in terms of, if you're saying what you're using Eclipse in the West and you're using Relativity in the East, does that mean the West is further behind the East?
It's interesting. No and yes. It really, really an interesting combination of factors. So the East tends to see bigger cases, larger law firms, and so the need for technology has just traditionally been higher. They seem a lot more responsive to outsourcing, to be honest. In the East, I find that the idea of bringing in a vendor is something they go to a lot quicker. It's something that's standard part of the discussion when they come to the table, which is quite different than I find out West, where a lot of firms tend to keep things in-house more and operate the lit support department with their own technology behind their firewall. Document review is kind of another area that Ontario specifically, but Eastern Canada, is a lot quicker to bring in those types of services than I find in the West. So the attitudes, I think people are open to technology across the country, but it's not one particular location that is more versus less. Mm-hmm. interested or kind of aware of technology. I think it's just the way that they use technology is different.
Do you think it depends on the size of the firm as well?
I do, absolutely, because you tend to see larger cases inside of larger firms. And obviously, the larger the case and the data, the more useful an eDiscovery tool is.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Do you think the attitudes have changed over time? Because I know you've been in this area for a while. So Are they the same? Have they changed? And if so, how and why do you think that's the case?
Absolutely. I do think the attitudes have changed. Initially, when these technologies came into play, they were spreadsheets. They were spreadsheets that had a picture of the document beside it. And that was just meant to replace boxes of documents that were sitting on a table. But as technology evolved and things like simple analytics, email threading, near duplication came in, you know, those were fairly easily received by people. But then you started adding in concept-based analytics, mm-hmm. you know, clustering, concept searching, TAR, CAL, those more advanced, complicated analytics. And I think that people froze a little bit because there's a few different perspectives. One is the computer is making a decision. And I found that a lot of people, let's go back 3 years, a lot of people 3 or 4 years ago would be hesitant to use these technologies, even though they've been around for a long time. They'd be hesitant to use the technology because they were worried that things were disappearing, mm-hmm. that the computer was going to assign an arbitrary value to a document, and that document was never going to be seen or heard from again. And that fear of missing the smoking gun or, you know, having an incomplete document production really caused people to hesitate and be unwilling to move forward with that technology. But I think that, you know, technology providers, software companies, the industry as a whole, especially mm-hmm. as you start to incorporate e-discovery into law school curriculum, mm-hmm. a lot of these types of things have calm down people's nerves, and people know now that none of these technologies make any decisions. The decision is left to the human being, and nothing disappears. None of these technologies have a delete button that takes, you know, magically take documents out of the case. And the more times that we communicate to the broader audience that they're in control, the better off I find that people receive the technology. Mm-hmm. So have they changed? Yes, absolutely. But I do think that a huge part of it is just the education and the access to information. Mm-hmm. And instead of making TAR or CAL or any analytic technology be this magic box that solved all your problems, instead we've started talking about it as just one of the things in your toolkit.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Do you have any practice or other guidelines that you reference with respect to conducting e-discovery? And I know in the U.S. they have the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. In Canada, it's a little bit different in each province how litigation is conducted. But generally, how do you see things here for practices or guidelines? Or is it like the Wild West?
Well, I mean, I do live in Alberta, so there's a little bit of Wild West going on. You know, I think that one of the things that differentiates the U.S. and Canada is the responsibility of the producing party versus the requesting party. So for people who aren't familiar with how Canada works, while the rules do vary between provinces, the obligation for production lies on the producing party. And there is a requirement that a document is both relevant and material to the issues and the facts of the case. And I think that kind of, as a guiding factor of how Canadian litigation and documents are produced in the e-discovery process, is vastly different than the US. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because a lot of technologies are built around the way that the US practices. So I think conducting our document review process, our e-discovery process, is quite a bit different. In terms of practice guidelines within the provincial rules of court, which differ but follow fairly similar patterns across the country, there are a number of practice directives. Alberta has a practice note regarding document exchange protocol, and a lot of those things are kind of built out of best practice inside of the province, regardless of if there is in fact a practice directive. So it does seem like a lot of the guidelines are built around experience and vocal people who are working hard to make sure that the industry is following a best practice model, regardless of if there is, in fact, official guidelines.
Yeah, fair. So I know you touched about the U.S. a tiny bit, but before we get to that, How did data privacy concerns affect how you conduct e-discovery? And you've seen both worlds now. You were inside a law firm, and now you're on the vendor side. Have you noticed a difference in terms of how you dealt with data and looked at privacy when you're at the law firm side and then versus the vendor side?
Not really, only because I find that all of our clients, whether I was in a law firm or in the vendor space, are very conscious of privacy concerns around leaving our data hosted in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of organizations had to expand their security practices with GDPR coming into place.
Yeah.
And that was a really big movement towards best practice and our obligation. But internally, from Canadian clients, whether they're law firms or corporations, the biggest concern is keeping our data in Canada. What I think needs to be expanded on in terms of data security is disposition policies.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is an area that we're really lacking. You know, whether you're a corporate client who's using a law firm, you know, do you have a disposition policy that you require your law firm to follow? I think people think of data security as, you know, people breaching on the internet, and that is a very big concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about whether you'll be breached, it's about when you'll be breached and how bad it will be. But I think that people really should start, and I know a lot of people are, but really should start thinking about security of obsolete data
mm-hmm.
that doesn't need to be out in the world. Because if they can kind of close that door, they've taken a big step towards increasing their security profile.
Yeah.
So that to me is something that is a concern, an active concern is, you know, the data disposition.
Yeah, I agree. And then how do you feel your practices or attitudes towards e-discovery, or just generally what you've seen in Canada, compare with those in the U.S.? Are we behind? Are we ahead? What are things really like?
Well, it's interesting because when I speak in the U.S. and, you know, I'm talking about document production, I often speak to, you know, the federal rules of civil procedure because
yeah.
I know that's a lot of things. You know, they've got 26F, which is a rule about NICA FER. But every now and then I'll throw into the discussion, you know, in Canada, the obligations on the producing party and explain relevant and material. And I just see a whole bunch of eyes go wide, like, oh, that would be so nice. So the rules and the way that production happens is substantially different. So saying that one is behind the other, they use technology more often. They use vendors more often. There's a broad acceptance of just vendor outsourcing is a standard model that everybody follows, and that's different than here. But to me, the reason that they've used technology more often and differently is because of the rules and the way that production happens. It would be impossible to generate a document production as the responding party
mm-hmm.
if you didn't use these technologies. So we're behind in our acceptance of, you know, relying on outside parties and software companies and vendors and other law firms. We're definitely, I feel like Canada is behind on that. But in terms of attitudes towards the technology, I don't think we are behind. Despite what a lot of people will tell you, there is a very vocal minority in the U.S., huge proponents of e-discovery, and you know, it's a very valuable part of that industry, but what you don't realize is the percentage of the population that is comfortable and confident in e-discovery is quite small.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people in the U.S.,
yeah.
and it is a very small percentage who are big proponents of e-discovery. I've been to towns where people still don't even know what e-discovery is.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada, I think, has a more broad understanding. Most people in the legal field have some perspective or some understanding. So I think it's the U.S. has kind of a really big high and low.
Mm.
And then we have a more moderate view.
Okay.
Everybody in the industry is like, kind of aware. And they're somewhere in the middle. But in the U.S., it's like you're either very, very aware and very engaged mm. or, you know, you're not confident in it at all.
Mm,
so that, yeah, it's an interesting, I find most of the perspective comes from just discussion with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Canada, a lot of the time people will say, oh, the U.S. is so far ahead. And the people who are vocal are so far ahead. You know, they're a lot more forward thinking. There's a lot more rules in place to account for discovery and, you know, lawyers' obligation to be proficient in technology. So I think that they're kind of their rules and their, you know, the different jurisdictions are working hard to advance that. We do need to make some improvements in that area.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more law programs offer e-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
That's more common in the U.S.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're working on it, and I think that we're making good progress. I'm feeling optimistic lately about advancements that I've seen just within my, you know, professional group with people who are no longer saying, oh, TAR, no, I'm scared of that. You know, I like the fact that people are talking about, okay, TAR, how do I make this work for me?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that paradigm shift from, you know, fear to acceptance is a huge advantage, you know, and a really big benefit for the Canadian legal space.
I agree. Thank you, Tiana. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.